Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. From Dante's Inferno, we learn the following, that pride, envy, and avarice are the sparks that set on fire the hearts of men. It stands to reason, then, that if we do not keep them in check, they will consume us. Our scenario is entitled The Occulted Light, and this is episode 2. It was written by Lucia Sechnowski and Gary O'Connell. I will be acting as the game master, and Wayne Worthy will be giving the recap. So let me take you back to the spring of 1925. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Wayne.
All right. Spring of 1925 began as it usually did, with me doing a bit of research in Corbin Library. I was continuing my research on Innsmouth when I came across the members of the Arcane Society, Doctors Grace Taylor and Eugene Rosen, Cousin Ashton, Benedict Coltrane, and Teddy Bamberstock, each engrossed in their own private research. Shortly after, greeting them pleasantly, a young woman who went by the name of Moira Brooks entered the library in search of genealogical information. The young woman was attempting to ascertain the true lineage of her grandfather. Frustrated in a dead-end search, the woman looked to be at her wit's end. Fortunately for her, we were here to aid her in her research. Eventually, our search led us to a place that I've been trying to avoid ever since that mess during the carnival a few years ago, the town of Innsmouth. The following day, we drove to our grandmother's home, seated at the edge of the town of Innsmouth. We were introduced to Moira's grandmother, Joyce, who seemed to be in her own private little world. We began our search in the attic area, where Moira believed that there might be a bit of evidence of her grandfather's genealogical whereabouts hidden away somewhere. There, we came across a few locked areas inaccessible to us. So unable to assess these areas, we returned to the dining area where we sat down to a bit of lunch. Shortly into our lunch, I spotted a strange man lingering outside the house and I alerted the others. Moira seemed to know this man and seemed to be distressed at the sight of him. She privately approached a man outside while we all stayed inside watching the exchange. I watched her pass the man some money and immediately he left, seeming satisfied. It was a few minutes later that Dr. Taylor and I learned the nature of this exchange and the dark past that troubled Moira. She made it clear that she wanted to finish her search as quickly as possible and return to Arkham before nightfall. While Grace and I were seeing to Moira, her grandmother suddenly produced a set of keys and presented them to the gentleman. These keys led to the unlocked, inaccessible areas in the attic. We returned to the attic and discovered a note and a stone amulet that was left as an item of inheritance for her grandfather. We learned that her grandfather was left with a sizable amount of silver that was provided by a man named Bartholomew Tagg. The amulet was what grabbed my attention. It resembled the things I've seen coming out of the sea a few years ago. The things that tore those men apart. With nothing else to discover here, we all decided to leave at once and make our way back to Arkham. And that's where we left off.
All right. So, what avenues of investigation would you like to pursue now?
Well, I've been thinking about this Skiven light.
Mm-hmm. We're going to assume that you've arrived back in Arkham that evening. About, let's say, 5 o'clock.
Samuel Brooks and Johann Brooks both died in the same year, didn't they? Did they die in a shipwreck?
Yes.
They did, because we're going to look into something to do with shipwrecks, weren't we?
Oh, yeah, well, I know two of them died in the shipwreck.
Well, they both got the same date of death, and
yes,
Winston was adopted a couple of years afterwards. Mm, well, more than right a couple then. Of years.
So, Skiven Light. Generally speaking, when a place is described as something light, that indicates a lighthouse.
Yeah, traditionally.
Did Moira come back with us, or did she stay?
She came back with you.
She did?
Yes, she doesn't want to stay in that town.
Does she recognize?
She has her own place, that's right.
Does she recognize that name?
She has her own place in Arkham?
She's got a hotel that she's staying in.
Okay. Okay.
Jeff, what was your question?
Actually, I'll let Jeff speak.
I was just saying, does she, having lived in the area, does she recognize that Skiven Light name?
No, just never heard of it.
If we're in the if we're going to the library, then is there some sort of either a guidebook to lighthouses or a list of lighthouses or some sort of coastal gazetteer or something?
Which where are you going to go? Which libraries? Corbin Public or Miskatonic?
Well, I'm thinking something like that. Probably the public library would be the best place, rather than a specialized academic library. You know, even like a tourist guide to the region might mention something.
All right. So, anybody else have any ideas, or
well, how about that amulet?
I was going to look into the name Tag or Tog.
Okay.
And see if there's any sort of Innsmouth connection there. How far that family goes back. Or if this person is indeed Scandinavian, has come from somewhere else.
Well, I'll have to ask where you're going to look for this information. It's not something you'd find at a library.
I'm going to the public library, Teddy, to look into the lighthouse situation.
Would there be, like, maybe in City Hall, like records or something like that?
I mean, certainly that's possible. There's a Hall of Records. If the tags were in Innsmouth, you'd have to go to the Innsmouth records. However, I mean, you might get lucky if you look in. Maybe he was born in Boston. Maybe he was born in Arkham. That's kind of a lot of work to go through to on the chance that.
I understand. Bad idea. Well, I will invite Moira. I'll tell her that she doesn't need to spend any more money on a hotel, that she can stay at my place, make herself comfortable as long as she's going to be in Arkham.
Okay. She likes that idea. That's very kind of you, and she'll help out with whatever she can. You guys have been very friendly to her, and she's very grateful. So to the public library, is that where we want to go?
Yes. Oh, I was thinking of looking into that amulet.
All right. What would you like to, how would you like to research that?
Well, I was going to take a drawing of it to Miskatonic and see if I can do any research there for it.
Okay. That's possible. There's also the possibility that Lenora might have more information on that sort of artwork. There's also the possibility some of the museums, the local museums, might have something.
Okay.
But Miskatonic works. You're going to take it to Miskatonic.
I mean, I assume that I made a sketch of it so I can take that without having to take the actual thing around.
Moira has sort of expressed that since She is sort of looking for an inheritance. Maybe this not so valuable trinket is more valuable than it looks. And if this is somebody from her father or grandfather, great grandfather, then she wants to keep it, obviously.
Right.
So, yeah, but you can take a sketch of it and sure.
Okay.
I'll offer to travel with Dr. Grace as well, because I think maybe there's some things I can come up with to research in Miskatonic as well that might not be found at the local Arkham library.
Okay. Okay.
If you don't mind me accompanying you, Dr. Grace.
Not at all.
Okay, so let's see. Dr. Grace and Benedict are going to Miskatonic. Teddy's going to the regular library. Eugene Ashton and Leonora.
I'm going to the library with Teddy to do the lighthouse research.
Okay.
Where are you going, Leonora?
Well, I'm gonna take Moira back to my place to get her settled. And I'll ask her, you know, what does she think? What does she want to do?
She's like, well, obviously we want to find out who this Mr. Tag is, and we want to find out. I'm interested in what all of you are finding out.
Okay.
So.
I know we did a bit of driving, so I'm, you know, not sure how tired she is.
She's kind of tired, but she's very excited now because we got at least another chunk of info.
Did she bring the letter?
Yes.
Okay. You know what? I'll go I'll go with the rest of them to Miskatonic. We can look into this lighthouse. Well, what we're thinking is a lighthouse.
So you're going to look at the lighthouse there, and Teddy's going to look at the lighthouse in the regular library.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
So, wait, how many libraries are there? There's three?
Consider three. There's actually more than that because Leonora has her own private library, and there's probably a few other private ones, but those are very specialized.
Yeah. And now I have a few artifacts, you know, old weapons, you know, crossbow, spear.
Of course. Well, what lady doesn't have a proper spear in her collection?
I have my own.
My wife has collection.
I have a small but well-appointed library, but it's rather specialized.
I guess I'll go to the public library also, but I'll concentrate more on finding what I can about the tag name.
All right. Well, let's handle you guys. But okay. So we're gonna do tag and.
The lighthouse
at the regular library.
Public library, yeah.
All right. Teddy, go ahead and give me... Okay, you've arrived at the library. You have asked... Let's just have you do a role. It's supposed to be role-playing. So, yes, sir, may I help you? What are you looking for?
Well, I'm trying to find out a little about the history of local lighthouses. I wondered if there were any specific works on the subject, or
we have a lot of
gazetteers or travel guides or something.
We actually have quite a few books on the lighthouses. The lighthouses of New England are extremely famous. People love all things lighthouse. So she shows you to a section of the library where there are at least a dozen books. Most of them picture books. Some dealing with the histories. Most of them, though, are the large, very famous, still in use lighthouses. So after a couple of hours looking through these books, page by page, to see if you find anything, you don't find anything like that.
Hmm.
However, go ahead and do a spot hidden.
No.
How about Ashton? You're with him. Go ahead and do
a roll for spot hidden. No, I fail.
Okay. Well, then you don't find anything. Now, Eugene, you were going to look up Tag and see if there's any history of the Tag family.
Tag family and or I'm wondering if possibly, I think actually Teddy brought this up. I wonder if Tag was more like a solicitor or a lawyer or an executor.
Okay.
Yeah.
So any references to the name Tag, the last name Tag? All right, go ahead and do a spot hidden or a library roll.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Nope, fail.
Okay. You find maybe 7 references to people with the last name Tag from all different periods in history and all different places in the world. Nothing specifically New England. Certainly nothing with the dates that you would, you know, it's not that uncommon a name.
Okay.
And it's a library filled with books written by names. All right. So you guys spend a couple of hours fruitlessly searching through the public library. Now let's switch over to the Miskatonic Library. Lenora, what are we going to look at first?
Well, we're going to look into the lighthouse, or at least Skiven Light. That's the name of the place.
There is a much larger section of books on lighthouses, but pretty much all of the ones that you would find in the public library are there, plus a few more referential nautical things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and do a library roll.
Now, if I fail this, I'm the worst librarian ever. Oh, I make it.
All right. You find that you can dismiss a good portion of these books as just being fluff. They're showing beautiful lighthouses and stuff like that. You find a few books that have some more. They're older books. They're books from a century ago. And they talk about lighthouses and shipwrecks and the New England coast and stuff like that. And what you find is in at least 3 of these books, pages have been ripped out of the books.
Yeah,
but you don't find any reference to Skivern Light.
This is a sort of crime that should be punishable by death, effacing a book.
A poor innocent book.
Oh, I'd like to get those people.
Well, whoever researches Tag, once again, finds numerous references, none of them relevant.
I will take the book up to the librarian and let them know. This is what I found. Somebody's been defacing your books.
They're like, well, thank you for calling this to our attention. You know, it's an old book.
It looks expensive, too. I mean, it could be expensive, you know.
Well, there's not much call for a collector collecting such a book as this. But, you know, it's probably something that might be found in a private library or something like that, something with a nautical theme to it, nautical libraries. But it's a horrible shame that somebody had torn the pages out of this. It's there's not much we can do about it, though, at this point.
Well, yeah, just bringing it to your attention.
Thank you very much. And she takes the book and sets it aside, maybe to be fixed or repaired, or I don't know, you can't really repair it.
So these pages are missing, which means somebody's trying to hide this. Well, at least we assume.
Now,
would you know anybody who's knowledgeable of like lighthouses?
There's actually a New England Lighthouse Society that's dedicated to the preservation of lighthouses. You might find, she says, I don't really know any of them, but...
Do you have an address?
No, but I'm sure, let's see what we can find. And she helps you do some research. Now we're going to give another hour, you know, that she works on this. So it's been a few couple of hours. She ultimately comes up with something rather simple, the Arkham Society for the preservation of New England's lighthouses. And there is an address.
You're okay.
The preservation of...
Care of Mr. T. Bamberstock.
Lighthouses. But it's just an address. It's not, there's no phone number or anything like that.
Okay.
They're located, I don't know, on, it's a private residence.
Okay. Is it closer to my place or is it?
Actually, it is. It's actually not too far from your house.
Okay.
Probably some other rich person who's dedicated to that sort of thing. So now the amulet. When you search for you're at Miskatonic. What exactly are you going to search for, or who are you going to search, or where are you going to? I don't know how to ask it. How do you ask somebody that, you know?
I'm going to take my drawing up to, I guess, the librarian and say, my sister found an amulet like this in a junk sale. She thinks it's valuable. And do you know anything about it? Can I find out about it?
Strange, ugly jewelry. Yeah. Is it a frog? Is it a fish?
What about the symbol size?
She says, you know, I'm just a librarian. You might want to talk to Professor Armitage. I can ring him up for you. He knows a little bit more about obscure stuff.
Please.
So she does that, and her message comes back that he'll be down here in about 15 minutes.
All right.
To take a look.
Thank you so much. I know nothing about this. It's the most interesting piece of jewelry, I think. It's the most interesting find she's ever come up with. You know, the junk sale,
So anyways, after 15 minutes or so, an old gentleman, obviously looking like a professor, but... professor of library science and literature and multiple languages, Dr. Henry Armitage comes down and he says, yes, you had something you wanted to show me, Miss...
Grace.
Grace.
Pleased to meet you, Professor.
It certainly is very nice to meet you as well. What can I do for you?
I show him my drawing.
Now that is very, very interesting. He says, I think once before I have seen something very similar to it. It looks like it is Native American, in fact.
Really?
I would say probably from at least the 1400s to the 1500s, somewhere in there. In fact, it may have originated somewhere here on the Massachusetts coast with one of the local tribes, the Nanset or the Natick or even the Massachusetts tribe. And he looks at the markings on it And he says, this represents, I believe, some sort of ocean sea goddess.
Fascinating.
But I've never seen anything quite this quality. It bears similar motifs. I think there are a few pieces in a library, in a museum in Ipswich that might have similar motifs on it.
Oh, interesting. Thank you.
Sure. If I'd be very interested in seeing the actual amulet if you had it with you.
Oh, I don't. It's my sister's. She found it in junk sale.
Well, if she'd like to bring it by sometime, it might be a very valuable piece, but only for the sake of, you know, for a museum or something like that. If she were willing to donate it, we'd be very, very appreciative.
Well, I'll certainly ask her. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. May I have your card?
Of course. He gives you his card.
Oh, thank you, Professor. You've been so helpful.
Thank you very much. And he leaves. All right. So now about this time, do we have any other questions at Miskatonic?
We should probably.
I'm anticipating your next words. You froze.
I froze.
You froze, Sean.
Am I back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry. Dr. Rosen, you're with us as well, right? No?
Yes.
Dr. Rosen. Oh, okay. Sorry. He's chewing. Okay. There are other, I think we should probably move forward and looking into some of the things like the lighthouse name, family name, history as well, just sort of general. I mean, things the others are looking for, but trying to get us another outlook on those questions from this library as well.
Well, you've actually already done that.
Oh.
You've ended up with pretty much the same.
Okay.
Same information. I was going to say now, after a couple of hours, if you each hear, you're probably going to meet back up somewhere. Where?
I would have assumed probably the Corbin.
Back at the Corbin. Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then from there, we can actually go back to my place. I'll make dinner for everybody.
Well, like, do we have a regular meeting spot as the Arcane Society? Do we have like a building somewhere?
Well, that's Corbin. The Corbin Library is where you... There's Corbin Library and Corbin Hall. Corbin Hall is where you have your monthly meetings, where people come to watch slideshows about ghosts.
It's more in the circle as well, I think, isn't it?
Right, that's the outer circle. The inner circle, you guys, if you can meet at people's houses, or you've got a room in the back of the Corbin Library that's private.
Okay.
Which you guys can sit there. You guys also have 24-hour access, so.
Sweet.
Yeah, you've often spent nights awesome. Putting together stuff.
As time goes by, we'll probably move over to the Miskatonic University. We're in naive days at the moment.
All right, so you've all arrived back at the Corbin Library. What would you like to do?
Well, I assume we're going to pool all our information together.
Right.
We didn't find anything.
So we've got a museum that we can go to in Ipswich. And then, what is it, the Society for Preservation of Lighthouses?
Yeah.
So there's two leads.
Well, that sounds right up my avenue.
Okay. Is Arkham, has it got much of a port or harbour? Is it mostly fishermen?
No, there is no. Arkham is landlocked.
It's landlocked, isn't it?
Yes. It's on a river, isn't it?
It's on the Miskatonic. The Miskatonic.
So Ipswich would be the nearest one with a seafaring community living there.
No, I think that Ipswich is also landlocked. You'd want to go to Rockport. Rockport's probably the closest. Then you've got Gloucester, Boston, obviously.
Because I was saying, normally there's these seafaring people used to choose the same taverns and inns and stuff like that. Maybe an afternoon or an evening, one of them might put us in contact with somebody that could tell us about the lighthouses and stuff. I mean, it's going to have fishermen that know the local area, and fishermen are going to know where the lighthouses are.
Well, Ipswich is just the nearest big town to Innsmouth, isn't it?
It's not too far from Innsmouth. It's in a different, it's a slightly different direction from where you are, but...
Well, I'm going to Ipswich.
Tonight? The museum's probably not open.
Probably tomorrow. Probably the next day.
For sources of information, there's nothing like a nerd.
Well, do you know, I quite fancy getting in touch with these chaps at the Lighthouse Preservation Society.
It's going to be a long evening, isn't it?
Yes. I wonder if I know anyone.
Well, if you look on the map, the location given is literally just like three streets over from where you are. It's in a nice neighborhood.
And what time is it?
Oh, it's about 6:30.
All right, so it's not too late. You want to head over there now?
Well,
why not?
Yes, all right. Should we take a chance? And
might as well. Might be able to sneak a pint or two.
I mean, they might have gone out to dinner. But, at the very least, leave my card for them.
All right. So, do you guys want to drive or do you want to walk?
How far is it?
Just three blocks over.
Oh, God, no. Let's take the car. We're walking that far.
I was going to ask if that was your dented car, but oh, that's a different person.
Yes. Oh, no. I'm starting to get confused as well. I was trying to figure out whether or not I'm
restraining myself from going next to the idea, sir.
Didn't realize that was a different game entirely. So.
Yeah. I've nearly leaned right. a couple of times and said, good idea, sir.
All right, so you travel three blocks over. It's just a short distance. You could have walked in about 5 minutes. There is a rather large and looming estate house. There's no gate in front of it. The lawns are manicured. The gardens are well kept. And there's lights on in the houses. There's lights on in the house, sorry. So you go up to the front door and knock, I assume.
Yes.
And
a
woman, I would say she's probably in her mid-50s. Rather robust and with her hair is kind of brown, but it's got streaks of gray in it and it's all done up. But she's dressed, she's not like dressed to go out. She's dressed just in regular clothes. Yes, may I help you? She asks.
Good evening, madam. I'm sorry to call on you at this unconventional hour, but I have need of the Lighthouse Preservation Society.
Oh, well, you've come to the right person then. What can I do for you?
Well, it's rather an obscure point, really, but I'm involved in a study of my own, into a local history study of my own, and I keep coming up against references to somewhere called Skiven Light, which sounded like a lighthouse, but I'm afraid I can't find any record of it.
Oh yes, Skiven Light. Are all of you here? Oh my goodness! Why don't you come inside? out of the night.
Thank you. Yes, we're all aficionados of local history.
Anyway, she brings you inside. It's a spacious house, well appointed. Her husband is sitting on a couch. She says, "What's going on, my dear?" And she's like, "Well," she says, "we have some people interested in the lighthouses." And he's like, "That's your thing." She says, "Please come in." Yeah. She takes you into like a sitting room and she sits you all down at the table. She says, "Now, Skivern Light. Let me see. I believe I have something that might bring up Skivern Light." And she's got a whole wall full of books. And she starts going through them one by one. "No, this isn't it. Let's see. No, no, no. Here, I think this one might." And she hands it to Teddy, of course.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, "You might check page 324.
320, that's a rather impressive memory you have.
And this is what you read. Can you read that?
Yes. "Concerning the history of Skivern Rock Lighthouse and its environs. In eastern Massachusetts, the coast between Rockport and Newburyport is quite treacherous to sailing vessels, and though many find the fishing in this area to be plentiful, few risk the many reefs and small rocky islands. Most notable amongst these are Devil's Reef, Fish Head Island, and Skivern Rock. Early shipwrecks are plentiful, and many legends have sprung up around these deadly sea lane obstacles. In 1748, construction began on the Skivern Rock Lighthouse. This proved to be a long and difficult process, with the building crews not only having a treacherous commute back and forth from the rock, but they also had to contend with the constantly shifting weather patterns and terrible storms that threatened to undo all their previous work. In 1750, the lighthouse was completed. The lighthouse was first kept by two hearty souls, Jacob Beaverton and Manny West. They kept the light burning for nearly 30 years before retiring. Various other people manned the light in subsequent years. In 1821, a wave-powered foghorn was installed, but this proved ineffective since shortly thereafter a hurricane hit the rock and destroyed it. The lighthouse was badly damaged and both keepers were lost to the storm. In 1822, in order to begin repairs, the lighthouse was once again manned. This time, I think that's a spelling mistake, by an ex-sailor, Andrew Muir, and a New England artist by the name of Bartholomew Tagg. By 1924, they had completed repairs and installed a new foghorn. Unfortunately, in May of that year, Arthur Muir was swept out to sea, caught unawares by a wave. An inquiry followed in which Mr. Tagg was found innocent of any wrongdoing. Bartholomew Tagg manned... Oh, sorry, that must be a mistake. Sorry, it must be by 1824, they had completed repairs and installed a new foghorn.
Oh, sorry.
Unfortunately, in May of that year, Andrew Muir was swept out to sea, caught unawares by a wave. An inquiry followed in which Mr. Tagg was found innocent of any wrongdoing. Bartholomew Tagg manned the Skivern Light until his death in 1838. It is believed he was also lost to the sea. Shortly thereafter, because of changes in shipping lanes, it was decided to abandon the lighthouse. No one has kept it since. 1838.
Sorry, there are a couple of mistakes in there that are mine.
So it was...
He died when Winston Brooks was born. The same year.
Yes.
Which is coincidental because he wrote the letter, didn't he?
Yes.
So he must but have the,
but
letter.
The income, the income continued until 1865. So clearly he wasn't the one, unless he faked his death, but...
Well, he died in 1838, so... And Winston Brooks was born in 1834. He wrote a letter and then died maybe a few days or months later. But he was at there. He was actually at the lighthouse while he wrote the letter, according to this.
So it would have been shortly before his death.
Hmm. Why would he be contacting Piggy Brooks from a lighthouse regarding somebody else's child?
Yes, where does a lighthouse keeper get an abandoned child? He's a lighthouse keeper. You don't, I mean, you abandon a child at the door, traditionally, at the door of a local church. You don't take your child to the local lighthouse to abandon it. I'm sure the lighthouse keeper will find a family. That seems rather strange. Particularly when the lighthouse is on a rather inaccessible rock.
One of them was flipped out to sea in 1924.
Moira says, I wonder if this is the rock that my father's note refers to.
The rock. Yes, of course. Uh-huh.
Can we recap that, please?
Hold on.
Oh! I wanted to screenshot that, sorry.
Oh, sorry, I'll bring it back up in a second. This was Moira's original note. Last line is, it is my wish that you complete my work and discover our connection with the rock.
Sounds like we should check out this lighthouse.
Or remains. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's an awful lot of it left. And if they've left it abandoned for a few years, if it has taken a lot of damage, there would have been no effort to restore it. They could be quite treacherous, actually, going out there.
Yes, that's true.
Do you want to get a screenshot of that?
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be about 50 or 60 years that it's been abandoned.
So Marva's father is the son of Winston, who was adopted, who the other letter was about. And Jonathan knew he was connected to the rock somehow. And we know Winston was connected because of the letter. But the letter's weird. Why would the lighthouse keepers aren't the center of the community? And they're usually quite lonely.
What if Bartholomew Tagg was Winston's father?
Or what about, oh no, that would make no sense at all, unless the child was...
Because he wasn't, when he wrote the letter, he didn't say my child, he was talking as if it was somebody else's child he was writing about. That's what I got the context of the letter.
Winston, hang on, the child arrived in 1838.
Yeah, and he died in 1865.
Let me have a look at the...
1838, when Tag is believed to have been lost at sea.
Jonathan was born in 1863, yet Brooks died a couple of years later in 1865. The men in this family don't seem to hang around very long, do they?
Well, there we have Winston Brooks, 1838 to 1865. So he was a baby.
He was the adopted one.
He was a baby when he was adopted, so he couldn't have been the son of Andrew Muir.
No.
Who died in 1824.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that avenue removed. So that's the first question is, if he, now that we know he's a lighthouse keeper and not a know that he's a lighthouse keeper and not a lawyer or something, why was he bringing the child for adoption in the first place? That's very odd. That is very odd.
This may not have any sort of relevance, but I'm wondering if It seems as though Tag might have been questioned by the authorities. I'm wondering if there's any record of that. Perhaps an interview with him.
Regarding the disappearance of his colleague.
Yeah. It might be something in the interview that might give us a bit more of a clue.
And it said he was an artist. Maybe there's some of his art that could be found.
What's the nearest location on the coastline to this lighthouse?
Well, I don't know. You don't know where it is.
There's no reference to it in the book or...
Nope. New England coast, that's all. Although it mentioned Devil's Reef and it mentioned Fish Head Rock.
Yeah.
Not Fish Head Rock.
Devil's Reef.
Unless you're a fisherman from the local area, you're not going to be aware of those things, are we? Unless one of us find a fisherman.
Wouldn't those things just be on a map, though?
Yeah, they should be. Oh, certainly on navigation.
Nautical maps, definitely. And nautical maps would definitely be it.
Then we come to the this business with the books that Ms. Clark found in the library, where it appeared that someone had torn pages from.
Right.
Now that would seem to imply that someone is trying to obscure the existence of this place.
I wonder if they would have a copy of that book here.
Or the Miskatonic Library.
Isn't that where we found it?
Well, yes, that was, I
believe. It wasn't Miskatonic, where it was damaged, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was ripped up, but I wonder if they would have that same book here.
Sign of the Times. Sign of the Times.
The lady, by the way.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Yes.
Her name, by the way, is Artemis Puce. And she's like, oh yes, I know exactly the book you're talking about. And she pulls it down. And what you find is simply a sort of half truncated version of what you just read. That Skivern Light, that Skivern Rock is a small rocky outpost that has a lighthouse on it. But there's no additional information.
Not where it is or anything?
Well, the only...
Picture or nearby?
No. The only... Well, it's between Rockport and Newburyport.
Right.
That's a pretty long stretch there.
Someone mentioned Devil's Reef the other day.
Morris seem to have... bit of a connection to that intimate place or something she didn't really want to go into, didn't she? So if the letter was concerning her ancestors and everything, maybe it might be around that area.
Well, you would assume so. If he's bringing the child for adoption there, you would assume that he would have been a relatively local lighthouse keeper. So we're looking at something that must be No more than half a day's travel each way.
You can't be that far away, can you? Really?
From the Brooks house.
That's kind of the same reason I think it's odd that pages are torn out all the way up here in Arkham. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem... Mm-hmm. Or somebody's going to a lot of trouble to erase information.
It's not very easy in this day and age with nautical cartography and things, especially along the coast. I mean, you'd think during the Great War they went up and down this coast and remapped everything. I think
if it's just a rock 16 to 18, and it's got the remains of a lighthouse, it's not really going to be. It's going to fade. I mean, once someone on one of those rocks starts falling to bits, we should imagine the waves make small work of anything that's left on there.
But the rock itself...
One, there's probably no trace of a lighthouse left.
The rock itself would still be there, wouldn't it? I mean, it's a danger to ship.
How are you going to tell that apart from any other rock in the neighbourhood?
It should be named on the map. Most of these Even the sandbanks and undersea features have names on the.
We're going to need a cartographer for that, who probably deals with the local fishing folk, because it's the local fishing folk who are going to need that sort of information.
Maybe at the naval station or something. I don't know.
Coast Guard, maybe.
Coast Guard is another possibility. I don't know the name. Out of game now, I don't know the name of the office that I'd be looking at. In the UK, it would be the Admiralty Office. I don't know what the American equivalent is.
Well, Moira seems very excited by all this information. She's like, she says, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I think we need to find this Skivern Rock. If I'm connected to it somehow, who knows what's out there? There might be a family fortune hiding out there somewhere.
Well, it seems that there was, or is, or was, a lighthouse. Whether the lighthouse still stands is another thing entirely. Possibly the remains of the foundation of a lighthouse, by the sound of it. Could be the best that we'd hope for.
Tom?
Yes, sir.
With my connections with the bookseller, let's just say the bookseller underground, the persons I deal with for purchasing antiquarian books, is it possible I could make a call and see if there's somebody that specializes in the area in old naval mapping or something like that that might assist us?
Sure. Your friend Sandy Burns might know something.
Okay. I'd have to try to connect with Sandy to see what I can find out.
Do you have a phone? I mean, you could probably...
I do. I have two stores, so I kind of need to stay in connection with them.
Okay.
Make the call.
All right. So you're going to call him?
Yes, please.
This is Sandy.
Hey, Sandy, it is Benedict. I'm looking to find out if you have any connections with persons that we deal with or may not have dealt with or may deal with in the future who perhaps have some books related to old mapping, Eastern Seaboard,
cartography books. I don't know. Yeah. And there's what exactly are you looking for? Old maps?
Old maps. Trying to find some old lighthouses that might have been abandoned, fallen down over time, destroyed. Old maps might locate some of those from the old days.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of an odd kind of an odd thing to look for.
It is.
I could see what I could come up with, but you'd probably be better off looking at, places that sell nautical insurance. If you got a specific area. Yeah, so if you've got a specific area in mind, you might find something on the local coast. I'll see what I can come up with, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, usual fees. Happy to pay. Thank you.
You got it.
I'll relay the information.
Now, Artemis, she shows you a number of maps of the area off the coast of New England between Newport, Barry, and Rockport, or Newport and Rockport. Is it Newburyport? Boy. I should know I lived there. Newburyport and Rockport. And they're kind of oddly lacking in information. She of the three or four maps she has of the area, none of them show Innsmouth. And only one of them shows Devil's Reef. The other information is just not there. So, oddly enough.
Let's see.
The only other large body, and I think it's not important to the story, but I think that it's called Plum Island. It's a fairly large.
The long strip.
Yeah. Plum Island, isn't it? But Innsmouth is in there somewhere. Yeah.
Hmm.
And she's like, Skivern Rock should be out there somewhere, but it doesn't show on the map. The area is considered fairly dangerous even today to shipping lanes. They've changed them all, so they don't go through that area any longer. So it's become far less important an area for the nautical people. But if you said anything to her, Benedict, or if she overheard you talking, she would concur that some sort of an assessor's office or, nautical insurance sales, they might have something. Especially if it's an old place.
Mm-hmm. So for nautical things, we might be better off visiting Rockport. Perhaps.
Hey, Tom, can I pull Moira off to the side a little bit?
Sure.
She's with us, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Moira, I'm just a little concerned. I just wanted to run it by you. We're getting into your family tree. Sometimes family trees aren't the most pleasant things to discover and dig up information.
Yes, I'm aware of that, especially since I've got ancestry, obviously, somewhere in Innsmouth area.
Okay.
But so
you're interested no matter what we find or where it takes us.
My father seemed to think that it was important that I figured it out. So,
okay. I have another question for you, if you don't mind. We sort of left Innsmouth abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
Was it, and it seemed to be after your meeting with the gentleman outside. Was it our safety that you were concerned about? Or was it your safety, or was it both?
She looks over at Grace and Lenora. Well, it's kind of a personal thing. She says, look, you've all been my friends. Tonight when we go back to Lenora's house, I'll explain to you some of the details. I don't want to discuss it right now. I'm not here.
Okay. That's kind of why I brought it up, because that's what, when you dig into family history, it's going to get personal.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So there's not really anything more that Artemis can offer you, Mrs. Puce. But do you guys have any questions? Do you have any more things you might find interesting in her library?
Well, now, if she's got sea myths about, like, ocean goddesses.
No, she doesn't have anything like that. No? It's lighthouses is what she's really interested in.
Darn.
She's got a few books on the architecture of Arkham, but that's about it.
That would be the only thing that I would be interested in at this point.
Okay. All right, so shall we back to Lenora's place?
Just can you remind me if Moira at any point mentioned where her mother came from?
She didn't.
She didn't. Okay.
But she didn't.
Okay. I'll wait for the right moment.
Okay. So you're all going to go back to Lenora's house. And yeah. I assume you guys go in and make yourself comfortable.
Yep. I'll put on some food.
Yes, I have a 95 in making myself comfortable.
Okay, I want you to roll for that.
Very good at that. Okay.
No, I'm serious. You were going to roll for it now that you said it.
I want to
see. Oh, yes. 53. That's a heart, I believe.
I was hoping for 99.
I have failed to make myself comfortable. I'll sit there grumbling for the rest of the 50, uneasily in my seat, complaining about my gout. I'm now sitting on the cat.
So
I'll roll out the portable bar and tell people, you know, to fix whatever you need to fix. I'll get dinner started. And
well, Moira fixes herself a good stiff drink. And she says, listen, she says, my friends, you've all been very, very friendly and very helpful and very honest with me. So I need to tell you, Dr. Eugene asked me something today, and I feel I might as well explain to you. She says, I grew up in that house, in the Brook house. And so when I was allowed, I did go into Innsmouth quite often as a young lady. And the Innsmouth folk are, especially the men, can be very aggressive. And one man in particular, Mr. Noah Elliott, I guess he took a fancy to me, and I found him completely repulsive. But I still, you know, I was a young woman, and I had to, take care of business oftentimes. Mr. Elliott ran, let's see, where is it? Sorry. Mr. Elliott, I believe he was the insurance. A second. I have a cheat sheet. Where's my cheat sheet?
I might believe he was the insurance adjuster.
I think he was an insurance adjuster. Mr. Elliott was the insurance adjuster. And part of my family's business, we didn't have a man in our family. So I had to do some of the business with him. And one evening, he made a rather aggressive pass at me, more than just a pass. And she finds it very difficult to say it out loud. But
I put my hand on her arm, in a comforting way.
She says, he very nearly raped me. And in the struggle, I shot him. Huh. He didn't die. She says, but he was crippled, and he has it in for me. The man you saw was a friend of his, Joe Memphis. And Joe Memphis is basically extorting me. Anytime he sees me come into town, threatening to go and tell Noah that I'm back, in which case Mr. Elliott wants me to suffer, you can imagine.
We will not let that happen, dear.
Thank you. But the other thing, the thing I didn't really explain to you either, was that Noah is a member of the Innsmouth Council. So he does have some influence. Anytime we go in there, if he knows that I'm there, we're in a little bit of danger. Probably me far more than you.
Hmm. That sounds like a rotten place.
It's a place I would like to get away from.
Understandably.
She says, believe me, when my mother passes away, when my grandmother passes away, I'm going to sell that place if I can.
But they've never threatened your grandmother.
No. My grandmother is basically too old and senile. They're not monsters, but she's not useful to them. Let's put it that way. In her younger days, she might have been. Probably if she hadn't been married to my father, then she might have been molested. She might have been threatened with molestation throughout the time, but I don't really know about that. That's not something she would ever discuss with me.
It seems that Innsmouth's reputation is amply justified by the sounds of it. May I ask, was your mother an Innsmouth local?
No, my mother was from Boston.
Well, clearly we should try to minimize any time that we had to spend in Innsmouth then, obviously.
Indeed.
But I hate to put you in that situation.
She's like, well, the problem is if we're going to find a way to get out to Skivern Light, it would be foolhardy and complete and incredibly dangerous if we did it without charts. In fact, I think it would be ridiculously dangerous.
Indeed.
Probably deadly. So we really need the charts, and I don't know. We need to find some place. She says, now I do know Innsmouth, and there are maybe three places I can think of in Innsmouth that might have charts of the area between Newburyport and Rockport. She says, there's the Innsmouth Assembly Hall, but I'm afraid if we went to the Assembly Hall, Noah Elliott would find out about that very quickly.
Of course,
yes. There's the Customs House on Dock Street. She's like, they probably have maps. They probably have records. Yeah,
Customs House will do.
But once again, we probably have to be careful. She's like, I wouldn't ask you to do anything illegal, except maybe, we might have to borrow something without telling anybody about it. She says, the only other place I can think of is actually, it's right in the middle of town on New Church Green. It's an old place called Ross and Hogg's Nautical Insurance, because she said nautical insurance. And I don't think that anybody's been in that building for 50 years.
Huh.
And there might be stuff there.
Well, we might be able to bluff our way in there.
Well, there's a lot of empty buildings in Innsmouth. Yes. And that's one that, ever since I can remember, ever since I was a child, that building's been empty. But it is a nautical insurance place.
Hmm.
We just have to sneak in.
Yes. Well, I'm sure. I mean, if they don't have much contact with the outside world, I'm sure we could bluff it if we were caught. Say that we work for a realtor's or something.
Hmm.
Or a lawyer. But I must say, I do feel a certain sense, having learned more about this place, I do feel a certain sense of trepidation in visiting Innsmouth. I think we should go prepared. That's for sure.
Mm. Yes, that would be dangerous.
I mean, I'm no soldier, but I've got my pistol.
She's like, and then we're going to have another challenge, and that's finding somebody who will take us out there.
Well, now, that was a thought that I had. I mean, I thought that... I'm not sure I'd feel completely comfortable setting to sea with... a group of locals from Innsmouth after what you've told us.
Well, about these people. She's like, you know, it sounds really bad. There are a few nice people. You just have to know where to look for them. There's, I know one fisherman named Dewey. He's kind of a nice guy. I mean, he's not, I think he's kind of one of those perpetually cheerful people.
Well, I suppose we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But,
exactly.
Perhaps if we, we'd have to pass through Ipswich on our way there, wouldn't we?
To get to Innsmouth?
Yes.
I think we'd go kind of around it.
Well, it's just that I believe that, Dr. Taylor said something about a museum there with
We certainly could go through it, yes.
Yes, I'm sure it wouldn't take too long.
All right. So what do you guys want to do? What are your plans? Let's take Mora out of it so that you guys can make your plans.
My initial thought is, does anyone know where we could get a Maxim gun at short notice on a loan, despite being a bunch of academics and
booksellers,
librarians and booksellers.
Yeah. What are you looking for?
A Maxim gun.
I don't know what that is. What is it?
It's like a hand cranked Gatling gun.
Oh,
like a German Gatling gun.
It's the thing they had in Carry On Up the Khyber where they replaced the ammunition with a record.
A coffee grinder.
Military museum.
Yeah. A coffee grinder. Yeah. They've had those around since the 1860s.
But seriously, though, I do think we're going to have to tread very carefully. I think we're rather sticking our heads into the lion's mouth. This sounds like
you really think it's going to get dangerous?
I think it sounds like a very lawless place, this Innsmouth.
Well, communities do stick together, and there's nothing worse than being a stranger in a community.
You know what some of these out of the way places. I mean, once you get off the main roads around here. I mean,
oh yeah, well, a lot of old cultures have the same word for stranger as they do enemy.
Yes. Well, I mean, to a lot of these places, being from the next village basically makes you a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think we've actually got to go in there to actually find out more, or do you reckon we'll be able to find out more from here?
Well, I think the best bet would be to go in, have a look at the records, and find out what we need, and then leave immediately. Retreat back to the Brooks house, perhaps, for a night. And then send word to this local fisherman that she knows, and... get everything done as quickly as possible. I don't think it's the sort of place where we'd like to linger around. I mean, from what she's said about this this Elliot chap, I mean, the less time we spend there, the less time he has to coordinate some act of revenge, which I think would be best to just get in and out as quickly as possible.
Well, here's another question. Does Moira have to come with us? I think it would be safer if she remains here while we search. We can find certain things. We're researchers.
Well,
yep.
Her response to that is that she's touched that you guys care that much about her, but she's afraid that if you guys went there without her, you could get into trouble that she wouldn't be able to get you out of.
I think that also that staying in her family house without her there might prove a little bit unnerving for her mother as well.
She also says that the parts of Innsmouth can be like a labyrinth. The streets aren't laid out nice and square. I can joke and say they aren't laid out nice and square like they are in Boston, except that they aren't in Boston. They're like this all over the place. So they're not laid out as square as they are in Arkham. So yeah. Finding things can be really tricky. But she appreciates, you know, the sentiment. She says, if we're lucky, she says we can get there. And often in Innsmouth, it's foggy in the evenings. And we can probably predict it by the weather that it's going to be foggy, in which case we'll have that cover, you know. Just don't wander off or you're very likely to get lost.
Split the party.
Never split the party. Well, my character, Mr. Benedict Coltrane, having essentially raised himself in the woods, who is a self-educated and partially university-educated man, has a bit of an issue with holding back. I am quite willing, with my shillelagh banging on the ground, to defend the woman's honor and take it upon myself to stand up to the people who are, because that's what he does.
Okay. You're my hero.
Well, I can say certainly with some authority that despite my advanced years, I remain a man of the last century, and I'm certainly not going to back down in the face of a challenge like this. I say we go.
We go.
Okay.
We've got some teeth of our own, I say, and I stroke my 38.
Yep.
All right. So do we go tonight or do we go tomorrow? Well, you want to go to the museum, yeah?
Yes.
All right. So shall we... Well, you tell me.
Well, what time of day is it right now?
It's now about 9 o'clock. Okay. At night.
Okay, so not the museum tonight, probably tomorrow first thing.
Mm. Well, if we got an early night, we'd leave first thing in the morning. And
we could go to Ipswich, check out the museum, and then go to Brooke's house and stay there until night.
So we're looking for nautical maps, right, to assist us in how to get to or how to find the rock, right?
Right. So nobody's going to get in a boat and take us out there without the nautical maps, or
so
deadly.
Maybe a museum is not the best place to go because they're not going to be handing out maps. We need to actually go get a proper map from.
Well, the museum is just for the information about the amulet, isn't it?
But they might well have maps, and old maps, yes. And stories about those maps.
Possible. So
I do sketches, you know.
Okay, there you go. That's what I was wondering. I was, how are we, you know, are we supposed to remember it? But yeah, if you sketch that, would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. All right.
In fact, drawing and sketching is actually one of my skills.
Is there anything else you want to do before you go to sleep? Any preparation you want to make before you leave in the morning?
I'll go home to my wife and rendezvous with her in the morning when we're ready to set off.
You're going away to some obscure place with some hot little woman? What are you talking about?
Three
there's
women.
There's a whole group of us going away with this woman. Yes.
With three hot women.
Are you cheating on me, Ashton? What will Mother say?
Of course I am, dear.
You go have some fun with your little friends.
Well, one of these women is his cousin, so.
Oh, Lenora's with you. That's wonderful. Well, she'll keep track of you.
If you ever need a sacrifice in the future, I know who I'm going to volunteer.
I'm going to take down the cigar case in my closet. I nearly said wardrobe then. Dear. How European. I'm going to take down the cigar case in my closet and get out my 38 revolver and give it a good dust and a clean.
Okay.
With the, I don't know what you call it, the gun duster.
A good gun duster. Yes. Acme gun duster.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Coltrane, what are you up to this evening in preparation?
Yes. Sorry.
What are you doing in preparation?
Visit my wife and say, hey, we're heading out again.
You're going out with a young woman and two other women? How... Are you cheating on me?
I think she's used to my traveling for my antiquarian book searchings. You should know that I have to go out and do these things. It's part of the business. Okay. I think it's the usual, the gathering of the goods. I mean, generally, it's my shillelagh and my notebooks and raring to go. I mean, what else is there?
Oh, it'd best to tell my housekeeper, Mrs. Cravat, that she needs
Cravat.
Mrs. Cravat. She nice. Needs to look after Pumplechook, my cat.
Of course I will. I'll look over her. I'll look after your cat.
Where, remind me, Mrs. Cravat, where are you from again?
Serbo Croatia.
Oh, I see. Yes, it's the accent. Threw me a little. Yakida.
Come here, Bubblecat. Time to feed you.
Bubbles, Bubbles, Beelzebubbles.
Let's see. Who else? Dr. Eugene. Oh, what are you doing?
Pretty much the same thing. I'll go back and beg Ruth to let me go with all the other guys because their wives are letting them go.
Of course you can go. I trust you. Just like you trust me with all those men that I go out with every evening. Of course, they're all 78 years old, so. It's bingo, my dear. All right.
Yes, and I'm going to also phone my fiancé and let him know where I'm going.
Yeah. Go ahead. You're going to do what you want. You're going to do what you want to do anyway, aren't you?
Of course. But you know I always come home to you.
Yeah, one of these days you're going to come home dead. Or possessed by the devil or something like that.
No, honey, you know I don't believe in the devil, and I hang up.
That's dirty. Now she just wants me to call her back and see if I'm going to call her back because she hung up on me. Why am I going to do it?
Why I order?
I'm already up in the other room. Week.
All right. And Lenora, are you going to do anything to... Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to call my... never mind, I'm not married anymore.
Nope.
I'm going to prepare, pretty much pack my pistol, actually maybe take a page out of Grace's book and pack a shotgun as well, and a knife.
Okay.
And I'll wear some more like man clothes, actually, so I can look less.
Pants?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm going to wear man clothes as well.
How progressive.
Yeah. That should definitely turn those guys off.
I'm going to go dressed as Miss Havisham from
Expectations. With the wedding dress and everything. Yeah.
I was just watching that. That was awesome.
I was thinking of going by myself.
And I'll just maybe call everyone out me for his way.
Maybe if I go to Innsmouth by myself, maybe I stand a better chance.
No, I'm going to wear a nice tweed three-piece suit that accentuates the stoutness and rotundity of my figure beautifully.
Of course. Now, all right. So we'll assume next morning you guys get together, you eat breakfast, you get in the car, you drive. After about an hour, you arrive in Ipswich. We'll say it's about 9 a.m. There's a little museum that opens, and it's got a nautical theme to it. You know, it's a lot of the museums in New England on the getting closer to the coast have a nautical theme. When you're in the museum, there's an older woman. She's got red hair, but I'd say she's probably in her early 60s. There's definitely some silver in it, but it definitely was red at one time. Her name is Margaret Schumacher, and she sort of gives you a little tour of the museum. It's not much of a museum. It's definitely an old converted house that's been turned into a museum. So it's definitely like walking through somebody's house. She shows you the various things, and she finally gets to one room where she has a little cabinet, which she opens. And there are a number of very interesting artifacts inside. One of them is, oddly enough, a crown. Not as elaborate as the one that that Lenora has seen or has at the society, but definitely bearing striking similarities in its motifs. And there, all the way around it, are very similar sort of frog-like creatures with that face that's very similar to the amulet. That
where does this come from?
She says it's believed that these all originate somewhere in the South Seas. They've come to us rather covertly from Innsmouth, from the Marsh family. Of course, the Marsh family, if you are aware, is the head of two major industries in Innsmouth. One is fish. There's a huge fishing industry in Innsmouth, and gold production, gold bullion, which...
They mine gold there, do they?
They don't seem to mine it. It's believed that a lot of it comes in from the South Seas, from ships coming from the South Seas. At least that's what the story goes. And this is a piece that simply was never melted down.
Well, even now in the 20s, they're still doing the subbing.
We don't really know. There's very, very little information that comes out of Innsmouth as to what they do over there.
Sounds like more like something someone would have done in the 1700s.
But the Marsh family has become fabulously wealthy. As a result of it. They're the most wealthy.
Must be from the gold. There can't be that much money in fishing these days, really.
No, but their fishing is extremely abundant. They've never had any kind of a slowdown period. And yet there is a period in Innsmouth history that we know about few hundred years ago where they very nearly starved to death. There was no food at all. But something turned around.
Is there much available in terms of local histories and much written on the subject of Innsmouth?
Actually, no. In fact, what I'm telling you mostly is folklore that I've heard over the years. However, it would explain at least this one piece that we have here, this golden, I guess it's a crown. It's rather strange.
Yeah.
Seems to have like a sea ocean motif.
It's a rather odd shape, isn't it?
Indeed. Yeah. Whoever wore it would have a rather large head.
Oh, do you know, I think I've read about that. What's it called? Cradle boarding or
Oh, is that where they misshape the baby's head so as it grows?
Mind you, they don't do that in the South Pacific.
I don't know.
Very odd.
Yes, indeed. Other than that, there's not really much here. And
are there any maps?
I'm sorry?
Are there any maps?
They have a number of maps, but they have at least three books that are collections of maps from the 1800s of the coastline of New England. And in each one of them, when it gets to the portion of New England between Roxport and Newburyport, the maps are missing.
Missing.
Well, this is more than a coincidence.
Yeah, that's not just a coincidence.
Does it look like they were, I mean, judging by the wear on the edge of the page, does it look like they were torn out quite some time ago?
In this case, it actually looks like they were cut out.
Cut out.
Like with a razor blade or a knife or something.
Well, I know there are people who steal illustrations and maps from old books and then frame them and sell them. I can't remember the name of what it is, but it's a very specific form of theft. But I can't imagine there'd be much. I mean, obscure stretches of the New England coast doesn't seem like something there'd be much of a market for. It seems rather more as though someone's trying to just erase that place from public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
This is rather strange.
She's like, well, now if you wanted more modern maps, there are a number of nautical insurance places in town that you could check with.
Yes, I think that might be a good.
All right. She says, well, they should be in the phone book.
I'm going to take Lenora kind of off to the side, but make sure I'm still in hearing distance and say, oh, I hope we can find it, Lenora. Do you remember that time we went to Skivern Rock? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope we can find that again. And I kind of look to see if there's any reaction.
None whatsoever.
I'll peruse the phone book for the relevant.
All right. You find that there are at least three in town that sell. One of them is affiliated with a place in Boston, and the other two are independent. Do you want? Are we going to check them?
If they're in the phone book, they're going to have numbers, aren't they?
Yes.
So I suppose we could just find a public telephone.
Okay. Well, let's make it easy on you. You call all three of them. All three of them answer. All three of them claim to have, of course, detailed nautical maps of the coast along along New England. You spend a couple of hours then going from one to the other looking, and in every single case, there's nothing along the coast between Roxburyport and Newburyport.
They have no maps at all of those.
No, they have maps.
They have maps, but
there's no Innsmouth, and there's nothing charted out there. No rocks. They're blank. They're
not even Devil's Reef.
Not even Devil's Reef is mentioned on there.
Oh, this is very odd. I mean, I know there are still places in the world that are a blank on the map, you know, parts of Africa and that place down there, Australia, where that expedition from the university went last year. But how can there be a blank on the map in on the east coast of America? It's ridiculous. That's not possible, is
it? It doesn't.
Sean, you got cut off. We didn't hear you.
Oh, I just said it doesn't make any sense.
I can understand them sending people out to deface library books and to do that, but do they really have enough influence that they can keep the whole region off the official maps?
Well, she did say the marshes were incredibly rich. Yes. Which enough you can do anything.
Yes.
True.
I think I hope we've all left I think I'd like to send a telegram.
All right. There is a telegram office. There's a number of them in town.
Beyond.
No, I'm just going to send a telegram to myself, to my own address, just detailing the time and the date and the fact that I am about to head to Innsmouth, just purely because I don't like the idea of going to that place and no one knowing where I am.
Okay.
I'm becoming increasingly concerned at going back to that place. It seems. I think
we have our own back room in the library, don't we? If we write a detailed thing and leave it in that library, if anything happens to us, another member of the occult society will come across us and know where we went to.
That's true.
I've also told my wife.
That's another hour back.
I've told my wife where we're going and everything.
Yep.
And I've also told my fiance. We can also write letters so that there will be a postmark on it.
Yes, best sent now, I think. I don't think we can trust the post from Innsmouth. If they're prepared to go to lengths like that to remove the whole place from maps, I'm sure they'd think nothing of just burning a few letters. If they even have a postmaster in Innsmouth, we don't. It strikes me as the sort of place where they'd want to communicate with the outside world.
They just throw in the ocean and hope it gets there.
Message in a bottle.
So, anything more in town, or?
Well, I'm thinking I might show her that that drawing of the amulet and see if she can tell me anything about it.
She says that it's very interesting. It seems to she'd love to see the original piece because it's obviously. It's obviously of some sort of American Indian, probably a local American Indian tribe. And she tells you more or less the same thing, that maybe not as much as Professor Armitage did, but that it might be in some way related with the crown. It definitely has a similar motif, though the crown does not look anything like an American Indian, you know, artifact.
Okay.
All right. Let's move forward. You guys have gotten to Brookhouse, and you have been lucky enough to carefully avoid anyone seeing you. Moira suggests you park around behind, in a place where your car is obscure. Nobody sees it there. If Joe Memphis is lurking about, he's not going to know that you guys are there.
How far is her house from Innsmouth proper?
About a mile. So she says that it wouldn't be, you know, you could walk in to town. And she says there's a really strong chance tonight that there's going to be a heavy fog. She knows how to get there. She's walked in there many times. And she says the place you're looking for, if you're going for the nautical insurance place, she says that's right on New Church Green. But it's in a corner of New Church Green, so we've got to be careful. There's you know, a chance they might be seen, but not very, you know, we just got to be quiet and careful. All right. So do you guys want to do anything before you go? I assume you're going to go out, let's say, about 9 o'clock. You all have flashlights?
Apart from mailing a letter to the library, that's about the only thing I'm looking to.
I'm going to include
a copy of the... I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I was just going to include a copy of the drawing of the amulet in the letter to the library.
Okay. So you guys have all made sure that people know where you're going. That's good. All right. So that evening, about 9 o'clock, you guys... the evening is chilly. It's not cold, but it's chilly. It's wet. There's lots of fog. And she just, you know, tells you to stay close. Make sure you're following behind her. And she's going to, you know, walk you down the street and into town. Try not to make too much noise with your feet. Just, you know, take it easy. It takes you about... 20 minutes. Does that seem reasonable? 20 minutes to walk a mile? Takes you about 20 minutes. Now, Innsmouth is not unlike Arkham in that there's a lot of old architecture. There's a lot of buildings that are two stories high. There's a number of brownstones where people live. There's old fishing houses up on stilts here and there. And as you're going in, but it's very unkempt. There's no color. Of course, it's nighttime, but almost everything is whitewashed. Makes it easier to see at night. As you're walking, you're going downhill into the town. And the ocean is spread out ahead of you. If there's a step on the cement, there's a white line that's been whitewashed across it so that you can see it almost in the dark. But the place is cold, and what you don't see very much of is light coming from windows. And Moira explains that in some cases, there's nobody living there. And in other cases, they've got heavy curtains that they pull. Everybody in Innsmouth seems to have really heavy curtains that they keep closed all the time.
Is there any street lighting?
There is street lighting, but it was converted from old gas light, and it's not very bright. It's, in fact, there's just little, you know, globes of yellow light here and there that you can see. And in the fog, they don't cast hardly any light at all on the ground.
Okay.
They look more like floating globes of light in the air. Dim yellow floating balls of light.
And no moonlight.
No starlight. The streets are crude. They're narrow. And everything seems to be dripping with wetness because of the fog. So you make your way down a narrow street, and you come to a place where there's obviously a main street crossing yours. And across the street, you can see what looks like a park. It's mostly obscured by the fog, but you can see at the far end, there is an old church. You can't really read anything on the church. You can't really see anything on the church. But what you don't see on the church is a cross. There are no crosses on that church. But right as you're turning the corner, you are now at the place that she was talking about, which is Rosenhog Nautical Insurance. It's an old, old building. There was at one time an awning that went around the front and side of the building. That's torn and shredded. The windows that were in the front of the building are they're either broken and boarded up, or they're very, very dirty. But you can make your way down a back alley to what would be the back door of this building. And it doesn't look very sturdy. She's like, well, here we are. How are we going to get in?
That's a very good question. Now, I don't want to cause anyone any embarrassment, but do any of you have any experience of doing anything like this?
Not me. I'm out.
I will say no, but I had a neighbor one time who thought he was pretty good at picking locks.
I wouldn't know where to begin with picking the locks, but
we shoot the lock.
I suppose the owners.
Has the back door got any glass on it? We could break a glass on the back door and maybe.
Are there any broken windows already?
All of the broken windows that are broken are boarded up.
Boarded up.
Well, if we want to gain extras, we better do it from the back door rather than the front door.
If we're going to affect an entry, we need to do it as quietly as possible, I think.
Agreed.
I mean, does anyone read murder mystery books? I mean, how does one go about breaking into a house?
Pick the lock.
I did read Hound of the Baskervilles a few weeks back.
Well, I mean, we could see if anyone knows how to. Does anyone know how to pick a lock? That's the first.
I can climb. Yeah. Is there like an upstairs window I can break into that's not boarded up?
Looks like everything up there is boarded up. Looks like kids threw rocks through the windows.
Oh, well, hang on. Okay. If one of you ladies could give me a hair clip and I'll see if I can. Pick the lock. I mean, I've never done it, but how difficult could it be?
Well, in this case, the locks are old and they're the big clunky keys, so I will give you a bonus dice.
Okay. It can't be easier. That difficult, can it, to pick a lock? Oh, yes, it can, actually. It's really hard. Well, I never. It turns out it's incredibly difficult to pick a lock. Look, I'm rather a large gentleman. I wouldn't say I'm particularly strong, but I'm quite substantial in girth. Could I try just leaning on the door?
Hey, before you try that, let me give it a go.
Yes. The finesse.
You said I get a bonus. What was the bonus again?
You can roll twice.
Someone who doesn't have sausage fingers.
How dare you? I'll have you know that it's a medical condition.
90, 93.
That's not a critical.
I think you broke your... Well, okay, yeah, it's I not, did. A, I, not I, a critical. Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't break... I didn't...
You almost broke your bobby pin off in the lock.
Yeah.
Just silly thought, really. But can I just sort of run my hand along the ledge at the top of the door?
All right.
And see if there's a key.
Yeah, there's no key. However, you were going to try to lean on it.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and give me a strength roll?
I'm a big man, but I'm out of shape.
What is your strength?
My strength is 50.
Okay, 50 is normal. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry, what was your size?
70.
Oh, yeah, you're a big man.
And I've got a little weird little error message. Oh, well, I've rolled a weird little error message.
Okay, well, that...
What does that mean?
That's always a pass.
Oh, here we are. 3.
You nice. give the door a good shove, and it pops open.
No,
little bits and pieces of the lock break off and land on the floor.
There you are. They don't make any noise. That's where sausage fingers get you, Doctor.
All right.
Well done. Well.
All right. So you work your way into the building, and there are a number of filing cabinets and a number of things like that. What would you like to look for?
Well, my understanding is that places like this tend to keep their maps and large documents in specific sort of map drawers.
Okay.
So I'm going to look for a cabinet that looks like it might contain maps.
Map drawers. Okay. Yes. Anybody else? Can look for anything?
Well... If it's an insurance building, there might have been something about the storm at the lighthouse.
Okay. All right. Let's have Grace. Grace, go ahead and do a spot hidden.
Okay. Let's see. 31. Made that.
Okay. What you find is you find actually a number of documents related to the area and the dangers off the coast of Innsmouth. Specifically, it lists insurance claims that concern both Skivern Rock and Devil's Rock. There's a list of shipwrecks that occurred. The first shipwreck, 1825. This is not the first shipwreck that there was, but this is the first one that's listed with Skivern Rock. 1825 shipwreck, the Pontus, 7 people lost. 1827 shipwreck, the Marguerite, 13 people lost. 1829 shipwreck. The Leopold Skinner, 9 people lost. 1827.
1827.
And that was the Marguerite, 13 people. You can tell me when you're ready, and I'll. 1829, The Leopold Skinner, 9 people lost. 1831, the Daisy Lady, 16 people lost. 1833, the Sea Witch, 14 people lost. And 1835, the Gray Spirit, 28 people lost.
So every other year, a shipwreck.
Sounds like a wrecking like that, because they used to do it in Devon, Cornwall, in England, because a wrecked sea ship was considered common property. Mm. So they'd draw them onto the rocks and they could grab whatever they could off the boat.
Sounds fishy to me.
Turning the light off.
Teddy. You find a number of drawers with nautical maps. And as you're going through them, you find a number of maps from the New England area. And at first you think that you're not going to find anything. But you suddenly look up and realize that a number of these maps have been pinned to the wall.
Aha.
And right in the middle of the wall is exactly what you're looking for. The coast off of Innsmouth, and there is Skivern Rock, and there That's is Devil's Reef, and Fish Head Island.
Yoink. Huh.
And as you guys are making these discoveries, you suddenly notice a couple of flashlights looking through the window up in the front of the building and focusing in on you, and you think it's a couple of cops.
Uh-oh.
And that's where we're going to end it.
Ah!
Oh, I want to thump someone.
All right, so our players included Kim Smeltzer, Sean Little, Nick Swan, Simon Ward, Jeff Wilkins, and Wayne Worthy, with myself as the Keeper of the Secrets. Our musical intro was composed by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Links to his website can be found on the description below. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We're now providing audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. We've created a Patreon account where you can help us with the cost of the show production and website maintenance. A small contribution each month will be much appreciated. We'd like to give a hearty thanks out to our friends over at Elder Sign Radio for their generous contribution of $20 a month. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Feel free to send us comments on the show. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. You'll find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.